I'm not sure what your favorite picture of the six that I just showed was. I'm a bit partial to the last one. If you've been here over the last several Sunday mornings, you know that we've been having a study, an intense study of Acts chapter 2. We have, from Acts chapter 2, the last five or six verses in that chapter studied how people became Christians. We've also examined from Acts chapter 2 what people did after they became Christians. Today, as we continue, hopefully, to keep that study of Acts chapter 2 in mind, we want to flip things around a little bit. We want to consider, even though that things began well in Acts 2, Christians were doing well for an extended period of time in Acts chapter 2. Everybody was active, it seems like, from Acts chapter 2, and things were going well. But when we look beyond Acts 2, what do we find? Do we find that as we look at the New Testament, perhaps the Christians in Jerusalem, perhaps Christians from other places, do we find that God's people ever got tired? Was there ever any type of spiritual fatigue in the first century church? If we can find some kind of spiritual fatigue in the first century church, who suffered from it? We would also ask if we can find some people who suffered from it, why did it come about? What was the cause of spiritual fatigue? We then might ask what steps were taken to fix the fatigue, the tiredness. And then, of course, really practical application, what can we do concerning spiritual fatigue in our day and time? Today's material is designed to cause us to start thinking about being tired. And I've selected six verses from the New Testament. If you happen to see the little Greek study that I do every Monday through Friday on the web, it appears on Facebook. The study is based on a post that I did a few days ago. There's a word in the New Testament, ekakeo, and that word occurs six times in the New Testament. We're going to be looking at those six verses today. Some will be read, some will not. That word ekakeo, the basic definition, means to be despondent. Another definition would be to faint. We might also say, as far as definitions, it could mean to lose heart. So here are people who are going reasonably well. Here are people who are strong. Here are people who are doing what's right. And then they begin to sort of spiritually wilt. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and this is where we begin today, we have Jesus telling or sharing a parable about prayer. This is the place where the Lord talks about a place where there was a judge and also a widow. Jesus, as he talks about this judge, says the judge didn't care what others thought. He didn't give any consideration at all to other people. He also, Jesus said, had no fear of God. As the story continues, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus says that this widow had an adversary. That is, this lady had an enemy. Jesus didn't elaborate on who or what this enemy or this adversary was, but he did make it clear that this lady, this widow, she goes to the judge and seeks help. Now, that makes a little more sense if we can remember from the first century, women had few rights in Jesus' day and time. If you were a widow, you likely were not going to have very much success in trying to fix something like this. Widows, as we look at the first century, were subjected to all kinds of abuse. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that this widow not only went to this judge, but he said that this widow went to this judge often. She began to pester him. She was someone who began to nag him. Nagging is often not the best strategy if you want something done. But in this case, it seems like the nagging by the widow, the pestilence, the persistence, it finally worked. Jesus said the judge finally took care of the woman's problem. But before Jesus gets into all these details, he starts his parable out with these words, Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them, that parable that we just went through, why? To the end, that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that word, ekakeo, is used in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. There it's translated, don't faint, don't quit. Jesus said when it comes to prayer, persist. When we think about students, I'm sure that we were all one at some point in time and maybe we're one now. But when we think about being a student, one essential aspect of being a student is don't quit. As you're going through school, there may be some times where you're tired. And not just tired, but maybe you're really tired. You feel whipped. You feel completely exhausted. You feel like you perhaps can't study anymore that day, that week. And perhaps if it's really been bad, maybe you feel like you need a month off. Maybe as the summer months come, you feel like I really need this time to recharge my batteries. And you take those summer months to do that. Don't quit. In a similar vein, Jesus, Luke chapter 18, knew that his people could get tired. He knew that even in the area of prayer, he knew that they could become spiritually fatigued. So Jesus gives this story, which is easy to remember, but before he gets to the details, he says, here's why I'm telling you this information. Here's why I'm giving you this parable. I want you to remember to persist when it comes to prayer. Don't quit. Keep going. Don't give up. Second passage. This comes from the 2 Corinthians letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. We'll not read that verse, but if you were to read 2 Corinthians 4:1, you would find that Paul is there telling the Corinthians, we have a ministry. And that ministry, of course, was the proclamation, the declaration of the New Testament. And Paul said, we have this new, we have this special, we have this wonderful agreement with man and God. Paul said it is because of that special agreement, this New Testament, he said, we don't give up. We don't quit. We don't faint. Ekakeo. As we look at Paul's life, there were some times where he had some very difficult circumstances. There were some times where, as you look at Paul's life, he got tired physically. As you look at Paul's life, you find that there were some times, some great times of discouragement. You also see that as you look at Saul's life or Paul's life, there were some times where Satan seems to have gotten the upper hand. And yet, in spite of all those many things, Paul said, we don't quit. We refuse to faint. Teresa and I, you may or may not know this, but Teresa and I both had dads who spent a number of years on volunteer fire departments. Both dads, as we look back at the years that they spent on the departments, had some health problems. Both men also worked full-time jobs. As I said, they were volunteers. And yet, as I go back and as I look at our dads during the time that they spent on the fire departments, they recognized the importance of that work, being in smaller communities. Sometimes an EMT that was a full-time EMT was several miles away. Firefighters, as far as people who could come and put out fires, were far enough away that had they called a fire department that was staffed full-time, the place probably would have been burned down by the time they got there. But our dads realized the importance of the work that they were doing, and they kept going. Christians need to realize that they have access to the most important information in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. They have the greatest gift. They have the greatest prize, the most fabulous news. There can be nothing better. Never has been and never will be. Things can tire us out in life, and that includes our service to God. I don't think it was long after Dad joined the fire department that he was probably over there checking out something one day and kind of let me wander, and that probably wasn't the best thing to do. But anyway, as a young boy, first time in the fire department, I can remember going through and looking at various things, and I have a specific memory of going to where the rack of coats were. And I can remember as a young fella, probably a little less than 100 pounds, picking up a fire coat. I can still remember from that recollection how heavy I thought that coat was at that young age, and I still don't think that they're light. And then as I began to look at the oxygen tanks and some of the other equipment that would be borne by firefighters, I thought, wow, you'd get tired carrying around all that stuff, even if you weren't trying to fight a fire. And they do. When we think about Christians, we have a parallel. Firefighters don't give up. They have some help. They have some encouragement in terms of both tools and people. When we think about the Christian, such is also true as well. We can do the job that God has given us to do. We can maintain the faithfulness that we need to maintain through the help given by God and his people. Don't quit. A bit later, moving now to 2 Corinthians, let's take a look, moving down from the passage earlier, to see what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16. Now you might be wondering why we have the image of a dog up there, and I'll explain that a little bit later. Paul said, wherefore we faint not, there's our word, ekakeo, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Paul reminded the Corinthians of how each day our physical body is decaying. It's in a process of losing its life as far as the physical functions. As we look at our hands, maybe they're not as steady as they once were. Maybe as we get up in the morning, maybe as we walk during the day, our sense of balance is not as strong as it used to be. Maybe it's somehow been compromised. For others, it's their sight. Others find that as the years have gone by, it's their hearing. Ideally, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, our spiritual nature is going to become stronger. It gets better. It comes closer to God, more like God wants it to be day by day. And as that happens, he says, the spiritual part of our body is, if you will, falling apart. It's going to decline. Now, somebody said, I thought you were going to explain this in terms of the graphic and the dog. And yes, I am. As you may know, Teresa and I have a little dog. In the past, our dog used to have just two colors, black and white. Now, our dog has three colors. It's still black. It's still white. But our dog also has some gray hair. Each week, it seems like our little dog has more and more gray hair. And one day, our little dog is going to die. Unless the Lord comes relatively soon, each one in here is also going to die. And yet, as Paul contemplates this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he tells the Corinthians, don't get tired, don't faint, don't quit. Why, Paul? He says, don't quit because there is a process which is unfolding. There's a process that you're going through. He says, our body, little by little, it's winding down. It's losing the strength, the force that we used to have. But he said that spiritual nature, the inside part, it's being renewed day by day. Like the student that we saw the graphic of. Like the firefighter that we saw the graphic of. Keep going. Related to our next verse is what we find in the book of Galatians. Again, ekakeo is used there as well, Galatians 6 and verse 9. Some here have had some type of experience with an athletic competition. When you think about athletic events, generally endurance is part of the process. Those who get weary don't finish. Those who get weary and quit don't win. Now, I know that it has become somewhat popular in our day and time for people to receive a participation trophy. If you just show up, sometimes they'll give you a ribbon. If you just show up, sometimes they'll give you a trophy or some other kind of award. When it comes to Christianity, God does not have a participation trophy. That's how it works when it comes to the gospel of Christ. If you want to be a Christian, God says, you need to get on board. You need to be on board. Paul makes it clear that we need to get on the track and we need to stay on track. Otherwise, we will not finish the race, we will not complete the course, and we will be lost. Running the race. Running the race, that means that every person is likely going to get tired, spiritually fatigued at some point in his life. But even though, just like this runner that's pictured here, even though we may find that spiritual fatigue pops up from time to time, we can still finish the race. We can get through the course. We do not need to be first. Sometimes a person says, well, if I can't be first or maybe second, and certainly if I can't be third, I'm not going to complete the race. I'm not going to finish a course. That's not required in the spiritual realm. We might be huffing and puffing at the end. You find that as you look at some people, perhaps track or maybe there's another event, and they are huffing and puffing. It looks like they are about ready to keel over. Maybe they're sprawled out in the track, but you know, he or she or they completed the course. And that's what needs to be true for us. God has set up the Christian life so each person can make it. Don't faint. Refuse, Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, to be weary in well-doing. The word that we're looking at is found two more times in the New Testament. The next one is going to come from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. It is possible to look at someone else in life and say, I do not want to be like him or her or them. And sometimes that person that an individual is looking at is an older person. Someone might look at this picture and have this very thought. You might look at this person and say, I don't want to be like him in my later years. I am certainly not going to be living this kind of life. You'll never catch me in that kind of chair. You'll never catch me in that kind of nap position. I'm never going to have the kind of health that's going to lend itself to that kind of lifestyle. Well, Paul had some concerns about the Ephesians in this regard. These Christians knew that Paul had faced some very difficult times. Paul, as he's talking to these brethren, he says, I know that some of the experiences in my life may be discouraging to you. This is what we find as far as the specific wording in verse 13. He said, wherefore, or therefore, I asked that ye may not faint, there's that word, ekakeo, that ye may not faint at my tribulations for you, which are for your glory. Paul said, you know about the tribulations. You know about the hardships. You know about the difficulties that I've had. And Paul says to his brethren, don't let what I have experienced discourage you. Don't let what I have gone through cause you to turn away from Christ. Knowing what others sometimes must face or have faced can be discouraging. You may find that a young person sees Christians who are harassed for their faith, maybe injured because of their faith. And because of what a young person sees as far as what happens to someone else, they say, not me. I'm not going to face that. I'm not going to experience that. I'm not going to let that same kind of thing happen to me or my friends. Adults may see the kinds of sacrifices that someone gives up for Christ and they say, not me, not my family. Don't let the experiences of others turn you away or determine your response to the gospel of Christ. We can be aware of what others are going through. And that can be a temptation to become discouraged. But Paul told the Ephesians, don't let that happen. Now it's time to go back to my favorite graphic. At times, it may feel like we are completely overloaded or overwhelmed. You think about the young mother, perhaps with one child, perhaps two, perhaps three, perhaps more. You think about the student who perhaps goes back to class and within the first week, he or she is overloaded with all the books and all the papers they need to write, and the list of demands seems overwhelming. Or you think about those in the secular work world, the schedules that they have to keep, the things that they have to do, and people feel like they are just overrun with activities. And it can seem, on some days, like there's simply too much to process. Paul, as he uses this word one more time, ekakeo, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "But you, brethren, do not be weary in well-doing." You see, Paul knew and said that we can't do it all. God has never expected us to do it all. And sometimes there are situations where, as a Christian, we simply need to step back a little bit. God tells us, though, that a regular mindset, even during those times, our regular mindset needs to be a commitment to well-doing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. Seek to do the will of God on a regular basis in your life. We recognize the potential for spiritual fatigue. It's real. Ekakeo, this word that's used six times, certainly proves that. We have a number of other ways to demonstrate that in Scripture. This is a divine concern. And that's why we want to study it in the coming weeks. But today we want to close with the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus said, "Come. Who should come, Lord? Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden." Doesn't that sound like people who are tired? It does to me. Jesus said, if you have that spiritual fatigue, if you are borne down, if you're weary, Jesus said, "Come." Why, Lord? He said, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." And what, Jesus? "You will find rest unto your souls." The Christian life is not always the easiest life, but it is the best life. It is the best solution for fatigue. And today, the Lord's invitation is open to you. Someone says, "I'm interested in that. How can I access Jesus' offer?" Well, if you don't believe in him, it's not going to work. That's why the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing to God." If you want the rest, you've got to believe. If you want the rest, there's some things that you need to leave behind. There's a life that has to be turned around, changed, so that it is lining up with God's will. That's called repentance. In Acts 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, "The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked. But now he commands men, all men everywhere, to repent." Change your life. Someone says, "I'm willing to do that. I believe and I'm willing to change my life because I want that rest." We confess that Christ is the Son of God. And then finally, to leave that old life. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." No rest, no relief, no salvation outside of Christ. Get in Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me." How do I get there, Lord? Baptize into him, Galatians 3 and verse 27. If we can help you in those ways or another to access the rest that is needed by all and offered by God or something else, let us know what your need is and let us know now as we stand and sing the selected song.